Beef?
Welcome to the Beef.
Oh. Yeah. You're listening to Beef Boys. The beefiest boys in town. We have average-sized cocks, but they're efficient, efficient. Efficiency is what really matters in intimacy. I'm talking you and me and the beef and my friends. There are three. We got Kudos and Andrew and also James. We might be three guys, but don't call us gay, even though we are.
Welcome to fucking Beef Boys.
Hey, welcome to the Beef Boys, man. Yo, we've been jamming, as James would say.
Yeah, man. Episode 7, what the fuck? Did you guys ever think we'd make it this far?
Never.
Yeah, quite easily, actually.
All right. Oh, so you had faith. It's just the rest of us that were a little rocky on this. I thought for sure by now, Andrew would have gotten pregnant and would have left. You know, yeah. Some drama.
That's James been in the cards for a while.
James would have been canceled for saying the N-word. Either Kudos or myself would have been outed as like a... I don't know. What's a really horrid crime other than pedophilia, because it's only the first few minutes?
Pedophile.
Double pedophilia?
A pedophile?
Courtney, blur that.
A pedophile.
No, Michael.
Courtney, blur
wrong.
My waveform.
A pedophile. Sex.
No, stop.
It was due to feces thrown all over the walls.
Beef boy. No,
Michael.
So bad.
Michael, we're never going to get ads. Stop.
Stop it, please.
Courtney, please. Andrew, you appear to be in boxes, as the Animal Crossing community would say.
Yeah, I'm filming this episode of Beef Boys from the storage unit we rented.
Yeah, Andrew is our Raymond. We're trading him for Nook Mile tickets.
Yeah. So if anyone wants to host, we're trading him for 2,000 Nook Miles, Nook Mile tickets. Yeah.
That's a game. I tried to get them to do it for four, but they said I wasn't worth that much, so.
Yeah. Speaking of animals, in our little talking points thing, we all wrote some stuff down, and I don't know if we want to get to these today, but the one I had written down was about Lady Gaga's bulldogs and trend drifters on Twitter. And
didn't the bulldog thing, didn't that shit happen like a couple months ago?
It was like three weeks ago,
so
wasn't
like,
it?
Yeah, so wild. Like today.
I feel like that was months, yeah.
Yeah, I guess they caught the guy. And what was making me laugh and made me like really like think about it was how people on Twitter, like, I don't even know if this is the actual term, but I call them trend drifters. Like, it could be anything, right? Like, let's say something's trending. Like, for example, today with Lady Gaga, it was like this very like grim topic. It was like, Lady Gaga's dog walker was shot and her dogs were stolen. Yeah. And like people saw that Lady Gaga was trending. So they would just like tweet random shit that just had Lady Gaga and it was like Lady Gaga.
Oh my god. Oh, yeah.
In this picture.
And when I saw what you put in, I thought that you meant like, oh, it's so annoying all these people are now nabbing celebrities' dogs for money. I can't believe
drifters.
They would grift on such trends.
Yeah. they're nabbing topics for clout.
Well, what you're talking about, Dopeaks, yeah. Like that's super popular amongst like stan communities, isn't it? Because people want to like artificially inflate the views on their like shitty fan cams, so they'll just like put it under whatever trending hashtag because Twitter's algorithm's stupid and it counts like 1 second of viewing a video as a view.
Yeah,
so it's like wow,
Spider-Man is trending.
Yeah, so my like, video's been viewed 70,000 times for half a second.
It's a bunch of like girls just. I never understood the point of fan cams. Like, is it like a sex thing? Like, what is it?
I've heard, and now this is probably maybe not it, but I've heard that for K-pop especially, it's like the big award shows. I think there's awards based around like how popular like certain artists are on like social media or something. I could be wrong, but there's something around that. So there's sort of like they're trying to, I guess, like
that would make sense.
Boost the clout of these specific artists so that they can win more awards. I don't know if that's real, but that would make sense at least if that was the case.
Somehow their being reasoning behind it makes it even more dystopian to me. like you're not just, you don't just love them so much. It's like, oh, I'm going to do my life service for this person that's going to win an arbitrary award celebrating their fucking massive wealth.
I thought we talked like, about it, how there's like a BTS Twitter accounts for different countries where if you're someone who can't afford the new album, people donate to these Twitter accounts.
Yeah.
So that like they can buy the album for other people, for people in need, for starving BTS fans, which will then like add, you know, album purchases to the, you know, to the list, so it goes to the top of the charts.
Right.
Yeah. Well, so it's like kind of like a wholesome thing. It's like you're helping out people who can't afford it, but you're also doing it to inflate the numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the over under that those Twitter pages don't pocket like half of all the money they get, though?
True, yeah.
I found out about
them
because
anybody.
Now you sorry, go. Nah, fucking you go, Dopeflix. Now you've earned it.
Fuck.
Thanks, baby. So what I was going to say is like, I mean, you know that anybody who's like involved in these communities that like have an account that like will buy the music for these people, they probably already listen to it anyway. Like, I mean, it's weird because, like, you know, we have this thing called YouTube that you could literally just type in whatever the fuck you want and listen to it. So that's so weird to me that
they
want to
own it.
Thing.
I guess, I guess because it bumps on the album charts or whatever. I guess it's good that albums are still being purchased, but not that they need any more money. I found out about it from there was that meme where Mr. Breast was doing that, like, oh, whoever ratios this this tweet the best gets 10 grand. And it was this just really fucking depressing circle jerk between one of those K-pop fans who wanted the money for one of those charities I just mentioned and Corpse Husband, I think. I think they were juking it
out. That shit was so cringe, bro.
It was incredibly cringe.
Yeah.
I think it was a battle for a billboard in Times Square.
Yeah, oh no, that was another one. That was another one.
Oh really?
Yeah, there was two different ones. Yeah.
Oh, wasn't that the same thing? Wasn't it Corpse versus BTS again? Or maybe it was another one of those.
It was Corpse versus Jay Schlatt.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to just say I like men or something.
Yeah, and Schlatt won.
Did he?
I thought he won.
I think Corpse won.
No.
He got.
No. Andrew, no.
No.
Jay Schlatt. No.
But he didn't end up on the billboard.
Oh.
That's not... I'm pretty sure
Corpse
Kudos,
won.
What do you feel? Yeah, Corpse... Jay Schlatt ended up with more after a rally after the competition was over because everyone thought Corpse was cringe. But Corpse won within the time frame.
Yeah.
I am almost positive that's not it, but I am willing to be proven wrong. Let us know
Fact
in the
check.
Comments.
Yeah, let us know in the comments because I'm almost positive that is it. So...
Well,
Battle
we'll
of the
in
Brothers.
A couple weeks
in episode 8.
Yeah.
So Dopeflix, you brought up trend drifters. What did you have in mind when you brought that up? Was there a specific case you'd seen?
Yeah. So that Lady Gaga thing, I saw it today. It made me laugh. But like, it's kind of a thing that people have been doing where, like, it could be anything. Like, let's say, X celebrity died, and somebody will be like. But like people don't know about it yet, so they'll be like, "Oh, I really loved Tobey Maguire in Spider-Man." But like Tobey Maguire was like involved in like a three-way car accident.
Yeah.
And he's trending because he can no longer see out of his right eye. But people just they'll just tweet with that something that keyword in their tweet so they can like farm likes.
Sure. Yeah. Like, he's dead, but they're gonna act as though he didn't. Like they didn't know.
What's like the most epic combination you could have of that? Like, what event occurred? What celebrity is it about that everyone actually isn't tweeting about what happened to them? And then which group is doing it?
Kodak Black.
Continue. All
right. Let's build. He recently got charged with like rape or something, and then people like tweeting about Kodak Black, but like in a a pray for him kind of sense.
What the fuck?
It's just like that's like the opposite of why you would pray for somebody. I don't know.
Pray for his soul, maybe.
The camera company Kodak tweets something out. It's like, this is why we're the only good Kodak.
Everyone's like, why haven't they done that yet? I feel like brands need to be a little bit more savage with that shit. Like, I feel like that would get me to buy an old school fucking film camera that people don't use anymore.
That's why I've always said I have no respect for brand Twitter accounts, because you know they're so heavily leashed by that sort of shit. Like, they act as though they're all edgy and fucking on your side and like, yeah, bro, we're just like one of the kids. And then as soon as like they're actually confronted with the opportunity to roast someone into oblivion or be genuinely hilarious, they can't take it, because you know they're going to get fucking yanked by the corporate overlords. That's why I have no respect for them. Go all the way or not at all. I don't have fucking time for this pussyfooting shit.
You guys remember that song with Pitbull where he's like, take a picture of that with a Kodak. Actually, better yet, go to Times Square, take a picture of me on the Kodak with a Kodak. And it's like, damn, I wonder how many fucking Kodaks he got paid with to put that at the top of one of his biggest hits.
And then like rhyme Kodak with Kodak is like, that's some next level shit.
He said Kodak, I'm pretty sure he says Kodak 4 times in 2 bars. It's at the top of the song as a beat tag. It's fucking ridiculous.
He's got a warehouse full of those travel ones that you used to be able to get. Never-ending supply of them.
I think I'm trying to see how much Kodak paid Pitbull for that. But there's a Vice article called "Who the Fuck is Pitbull?" But that's
oh, don't don't do my man's like that. We all know Pitbull.
Android,
Mr. Worldwide, Mr. 305.
Android.
What was I gonna say?
Yeah.
No, the fucking box behind you. Wake up!
Oh, it's an older Twitter happening. A brand like getting in on a hashtag or something. But I think Net Historian talked about it.
It's the DiGiorno one.
Yeah, the DiGiorno one. The God, why I left, and it was this hashtag that went around during the I think the Me Too movement, and it was like why I left.
No,
it
was why I stayed.
Share their story. Why I stayed.
Yeah, why I stayed.
Oh,
and people were sharing their stories of like abuse and like what I think it was like what kept them in an abusive relationship. And DiGiorno just like dick first, without thinking about it, said, "You had pizza," and everybody's like,
"The funniest thing, bruh." Was they like couldn't just take the L. They like
pizza time.
They would not stop apologizing to literally anybody who tweeted at them.
No, there's like pages and pages Joe and pages Schmo with 2 followers.
What was it? Wait! I need to know for distinction. Was it what was the hashtag? Kudos.
Why I stayed.
Okay, so are they saying why I stayed? Because I had pizza, so it's like instead of going out to get pizza, you stay in to get it. Or were they saying
because
the only reason
pizza.
You stay in an abusive relationship is because of the pizza?
They didn't realize it was about abusive relationships. They just thought it was like
that,
why I stayed. Why I stayed in to hang out with someone or something like that. And they did why I stayed because they had pizza.
Because it's even funnier if you think they meant why did I stay in an abusive relationship. Because we shared
the DiGiorno. That's literally what they implied by tweeting that without realizing it.
Yeah.
I think the most recent example of that sort of shit is the fucking Burger King saying that women belong in the kitchen.
Oh.
Dude, I felt so neutral on that. Like, I don't even think it was that much of a blunder, but also it's just, like, cringe. So it's like, why did people fucking care so much in either direction?
I honestly thought it was, like, not that bad. Like, it was really dumb. But I don't think.
Yeah,
it was just dumb.
It was funny.
Yeah, it was. That's what I was saying. Is like these brands never fucking can commit to like just doing something. That was the first time I'd actually been like, oh, damn, that's actually like kind of like a hard.
Ballsy.
That's ballsy. It's dumb.
It's a good, it's a decent joke from a brand. It's like they literally apologized and were like, we're sorry for making you think exactly what we were meant to be making you think with what we were trying to say.
They did try.
It's like,
to
why
not
are you apologizing? You're, yeah. The apology is like, we succeeded. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, I guarantee you they got a ton of business afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, that's the thing. Like, I wonder, like if let's say one of us were like a crazy rich business or not even a business executive, but like the person who posts these fucking social media posts. Like realistically, how much money would Burger King lose if they didn't bend the knee to that? Like if they just committed, how many people would be like, I'm never eating a Whopper ever again in my life?
There's people that eat a Burger King don't care about social issues. Those are two separate Venn diagrams.
I was gonna say
people that eat at Burger King still use Facebook.
Venn diagram of people who care about social issues and those who eat at Burger King are like this far two apart. Circles.
I wonder.
Yeah, they're just two circles on a grid.
Yeah, I wonder if that comes back to like that whole like performative. What's the term? Performative.
Activism.
Yeah, performative activism. Like, I wonder if that kind of falls into that umbrella. Because, like, to me, like, if I see a joke like that, obviously it's in poor taste. But that's kind of the point. That's, like, the thing. Yeah. It's, like, once you apologize for it, then that initial point is completely, like, null and void. Because it's like, why would you apologize for something if that wasn't your...
joking or you were, like, making a statement and now you're kind of, by apologizing, you're implying that, like, that... Your evil interpretation of it is now correct or whatever, you know?
Yeah, so exactly, yeah.
I know.
So for my reasoning,
it sounds a lot worse to say, I'm sorry for saying women belong in the kitchen. women belong in the kitchen because they need jobs in this industry.
It gets you a couple more days of epic attention when you go on the apology train. What it really is, I think, is they thought it all the way through. It happened. They get 2 days of anger. They apologize. They get 2 or 3 days of look how stupid it is. They apologized. And they get 5 days of crazy business. And at the end of it all, nothing matters except the dollar.
Yeah.
That's what every fucking... Just remember, every business, no matter how big or small, wants your fucking money. Yeah. They don't give a shit about anything else.
They don't really care about
getting
women
laugh,
in the
fuck
kitchen.
Doesn't matter.
Preach, yeah. Brother.
Don't go buy a fucking.
Also, Burger King's trash food. Don't eat there.
it's so bad.
They should be more. Their food is more offensive than any tweet. I will tell you that much. I know Four Guys probably not the best people to weigh in on women's issues, but
Five Guys are.
Maybe we are.
Shop at Five Guys Burgers and Fries, baby. Their burgers are way better.
Because me and Historian talked about this, but I got cut from the food video we did, but we talked about that, and there was a point I made when we were talking where it's like, because there are people in the replies to this being like, wow, like this is, you know, you're setting back women's issues and like this is what we have to deal with or whatever, and it's like, I doubt that there's some woman who like looks around and her little daughter is like, mommy, I want to be a scientist one day, and then she turns back and sees the Burger King tweet and a single tear rolls down her eye, like I'm going to go out on a limb and assume that Burger King's dumbass tweet had zero effect on feminism worldwide.
Hey, with that how would you said, know? You have a penis. Stop speaking for women.
I'll speak for women as much as they want.
That wasn't a meme on women. That was a meme on men that want to fuck women but can't. Right. So then they white knight instead.
Hey, what'd you mention me for that?
Boys, with that being said, beef curtains. Today's episode is sponsored by Burger King. Every day, more than 11 million guests visit Burger King restaurants around the world. And they do so because our restaurants are known for serving high-quality, great-tasting, and affordable food. Founded in 1954, from? Burger King is the second-largest fast-food hamburger chain in the world. The original home of the Whopper, our commitment to premium ingredients is... I'm reading the fucking website. Go to burgerking.com/beefboys and get yourself a big old fucking fuckstick in your ass.
They should make a Whopper that they punch before they give to you. And it's
dude,
like,
that's just Smash Burger.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they hear the word Smash Burger and they're like, yo, we can do that.
Smash Burger.
Yeah. Speaking of punching food, I noticed when Taco Bell still had the Mexican pizza, there was not a single time where I ordered one that was not punched. I swear to God, they had a vendetta against me.
Boom!
Like they punch it before they give it to you. It's like almost a weird ritual.
They got the big cheese guy, and he stands by the counter and he wallops them with two fists. Like, yeah.
You know that dude on TikTok who got fired because he filmed how to make all the Taco Bell stuff, and it's literally just him like taking shit out of just like tins and putting it in a tortilla.
Yeah, we did.
Well,
yeah.
Imagine he probably got fired because he was doing it good and they were like, oh, this is great business. And then he did the Mexican pizza one and he just beat the shit out of it on camera. And like, all right, they can't know that much. That's
you don't want to know how the sausage is made. Yeah.
It's like the secret seasoning from KFC. Taco Bell just punches the shit out of their Mexican pizza.
Yeah.
Hey, I wanted to talk about the diciest times of our lives.
The diciest times of our lives.
So I had a story. I was catching a tram home the other day. It was coming up after the
tram?
Gym. A tram? You know, like a...
Yes.
A tram.
It's like a trolley?
Yeah, like in San Francisco.
Yeah, is it a trolley?
Yeah.
Like it's like built into the road?
Yeah, yeah, with like rails on the road, yeah. Melbourne Public Transport.
Okay.
It's pretty good. But I was catching a tram from the
shout
gym. It was like 2 p.m. Yeah, shout out to Yara Trams. Please sponsor us. I promise
this episode of Beef Boys is sponsored.
I promise I'll actually swipe on if you sponsor us. But it was coming back. It was 2 p.m. on a Saturday. I just been to the gym, and there were these belligerent teenagers on the tram. The trams here are really long. They're like kind of three carts, and they stretch quite far. So I came in. I hear these fucking teenagers in the middle cart just fucking like, and I was like, all right, fuck this. So I went and like sat at the front, like far away from them. And just throughout the tram ride, I just heard them getting more and more like they were must have been like 16 to 18, maybe 19. Drinking like straight vodka on the tram and just like getting louder and louder. Yeah. And there was one kid in particular.
Can you do that in Australia? Can you like drink like open shit like in public?
No. Well, I guess it depends where you are. You're definitely not allowed to do it on the tram, even if you are allowed to do it like in the suburb.
Okay.
Like, yeah, and also underage drinking. So, you know, they were breaking multiple rules. In.
Oh, true. That's a good point.
So these guys were just getting mints. And there was one guy in particular who was like, he really had something to prove. He was the really loud, boisterous one, and every now and then he'd like be shouting and shit, and you could hear it all throughout the tram. I sat facing away from them, which was maybe a good thing because they seemed like the sort of people, if you like made eye contact with them, it'd be like a fucking Pokemon battle, and they'd
what
like
sit there.
Yeah, exactly. So that was good, but it also meant like I didn't know what the fuck was happening behind me. Really, I just heard all the shit going on and being like, oh geez. And then so I sat ages away from them, thought I was fine. They come up like behind me because I think they were going to get off the tram. They have to come up to the front to get to the doors. And then they were like, oh, no, this isn't our stop. We've got three more stops to go. And I was like, fuck. And then they just sat. So now they're like loitering right behind me. And again, I can't fucking see them. So I'm like, is someone going to try some shit? They were being incredible. One girl was like, I'm going to throw up. And this other dude was just like, the guy who had something to prove, he started losing his fucking mind out of nowhere. I don't know what the hell was happening. The scariest part was out of nowhere, he just starts pacing up and down going, fuck, 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 like so fucking loud. And like that is so, when you can't even see the cunt, that is terrifying. Like I'm like, you know, like when you're dealing with crazy people or like adults, drunk adults, you at least feel like you can maybe get a piece on what they're doing, or you can sort of, not always, but a lot of times you can. But
with these, like, up a little bit.
With teenagers, it's like, they're just chaos. Like, it's like, this guy could just out of the blue be like he seemed like such a little shit, just trying to like, you know, be a fucking spaz. And yeah, he was pacing down screaming fuck, and his friend, you know, one of them was like, oh, we should probably get him off. And I was like, yeah, you probably should. But like, I was sitting there, my face was like hot. I was like, oh God, it's like, I'm about to have to like, some shit's about to go down. I can feel it in my bones. Spoiler alert, nothing did happen. They stopped open, they got off. I was like, oh, thank fuck. And then they had to cross over the road to like, after they got off their stop. And they like just ran across like while the crossing was red. So like fucking cars were coming in to swerve around them. And the kid, the real fucked one, pushed one of the cars like as they like swerved around him. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? But that was like one of the few situations recently where I've been like, I felt genuinely in danger. You know, like the fucking scar, the battle music started and I couldn't fast travel. It was like, it was very dicey. But I was wondering, do you guys, I mean, Vodopix has kind of shared about the diciest one out of anyone. He had a gun pulled on him. So slightly more scary. But if you guys have any moments
Kudos
that you can think
had
of.
His Joker moment.
Yeah, exactly, on the train.
Kudos turns around, they all start sliding down clown masks.
No, the other way around. They beat the shit out of me, and then I pull out the blicky and fucking chase them down.
When Kudos originally told us about this, he was like a little bit more frazzled by it because it had just happened. Or it was like happening when he was messaging us or something. He was like on his way home from the gym. And I was kind of just like, you know what? Because if something was going to happen, I was like, you know what? Like, I kind of fuck with that scene in The Joker where that happens and then he just kills him. It's like, don't fuck with my boy. You deserve to take a couple to the chest.
The thing is, we're in Australia, though. We're not allowed to have We're not allowed to have blickies here, unfortunately.
True. So you guys, I can't fucking pull one right now. So Andrew or Doplex go.
I was gonna say Doplex probably has a significantly better one. I don't think I've ever ended up in a situation. I've had things like a scary or like just like a homeless person will like yell something at you. Me and a buddy were walking through Nashville and this guy was coming towards us and he just like. I can't even remember what he yelled. It was just like, I can't keep doing this or something like that. And we were like, what did he say? And as we kept going, we realized that there was a bar.
He was having a domestic argument with his invisible wife.
No, there was a bar nearby. And like all the bars on Broadway in Nashville have live music. And the guy just like belted out a bar, like one of the lines from the song in time with it. But it scared the shit out of me and my buddy because it was like in my ear. I was like,
Andrew sees a homeless person being like, spare change. And he's like, I just run away.
This guy was like,
I'm a cool pro Fortnite gamer.
He just heard that one bar as he was walking by.
And then Andrew commits Tomato Town on him. Awesome. So I thought of one. So... this one time I was at a hardcore show and this dude, so at a hardcore show, you know, I fuck with moshing and stuff. I got a low center of gravity. I'm a big boy. So like, but my favorite stuff are circle pits, which is basically you just run in circles and throw each other around, or just like push pits where you just like you fucking toss people, but you just push them. There's no hitting. But then you always get these people, and Doplex could very well have been one of these people. I don't know. He's a little more hardcore than I am. But you get these fucking crowd killers, and they just swing their arms and legs trying to like punch people. I fucking hate it. It's the cringiest shit ever. And they just go in the middle of everyone and swing, like, lock their legs and arms and just swing them really hard in every direction. And they do, like flying ninja jumps and they flip around. But, like, if they hit you... I saw a girl once. It was, like, a 14-year-old girl. This, like, 20-year-old dude was doing it. He got too close to the ring, which is, like, you know, everyone else that doesn't want to be in that. And he elbowed a girl in the face and her nose went into her skull. And I'm pretty sure she died. And, like, I saw her, like, just... not move for 15 minutes and then be carted away from a festival. I swear to God, she could have been dead. Like, she straight up pulled a Voldemort. It was fucking, it was insane.
That is grim.
But at this show, so this dude was like the only crowd killer and he started causing problems with people. And this, he hit this one, he ran across the entire pit and jumped fully, and he was fat as shit, but he fully jumped and drop kicked a girl. Like, it couldn't have been like, Jesus. I'm just dancing. Like, he jumped, leveled out, and drop kicked the girl, and she went like flying into the fucking audience, because this dude was like 200 fucking pounds.
Yeah.
And that's not even that big. He's probably like 250 pounds. Maybe like, 300. I don't know. I'm more than that. But fucking, dude, he wrecks this girl. And then her boyfriend comes out of the crowd. And he's like this big ass dude. And he starts going up on that dude. And then that dude tries to run in the crowd my way. And I grab him. And I push him. And I throw him back into the boyfriend. And literally like a movie scene, he's going to the boyfriend. Like, I pushed him really hard. And he loses his balance. And... so he's like going down this way and the boyfriend's over here, and as he's falling, he like catches him straight across the face and knocks him the fuck out. Like, fully just platters him. The dude's out for like 15 seconds and the fucking security guards come over with like smelling salts and like try to wake him up. And then he gets up like a rabid animal and pulls a huge knife out of his fucking pocket. And he locks eyes with me, and I fucking bulldoze my way through like 300 people and just like got to another part of the crowd and like fucking hid behind like 12-year-old girls. And like, was like, all right, that was me. That was me. Scary. I was like, I didn't even punch you. But I'm pretty sure he just got like smothered by these big security guards as soon as he did that. But he pulled out like a fucking, like not a butterfly knife, a where machete. It's just like, a, like he pulled out like a, like yeah, a like Bowie one of those knife. Ones that you. Well, it was like you. It was one of those illegal ones where you press the button and it's spring loaded, and then like a 5-inch blade comes out of it.
Jesus,
damn!
That was insane.
That was what was scary about the tram thing is like that kid who was screaming. It like he seemed again. We're not allowed to have guns here, so like he would be like the little shit who would have had a knife on him. And it's just like, what if he just pulled a fucking knife on the tram? And my back's like facing him, so I can't even see what's happening. It's
I'm not the only one that's like paranoid about this situation.
I hate it.
It's because I always think about this.
I know.
You can always kind of tell who a knife person is. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. Like with dudes specifically, you look at somebody.
They wear
like,
cargo shorts.
Yeah, it's like that loser looks like he fucking is obsessed with knives.
Yeah.
And we just pull one out
at a moment's notice.
I heard a story from a guy. There's a story from a guy at uni. He went to a really fucking shit school in the hut, I think, in Wellington. And there was a gang of Pacific Islands students there called the Killer Coconut Crew. And apparently they cheese grated some kid's ass.
What a badass name.
Wait, what the fuck?
They cheese grated somebody's ass?
Yeah, like they held this kid down and cheese grated his ass.
Wait, what? Hold on. What are the did they like?
What the
did they
fuck?
Grab him and kind of wiggle him side to side? Like
no. I think I imagine they pinned him down. I imagine the cheese grater is easier to maneuver than the child.
Yes.
Just tell me when to stop.
This grater was just like.
It's not funny, but it's very funny.
It's so fucking brutal.
I wonder if your skin flakes like cheese.
Ah, stop.
Yeah, have you ever grated a lime or like a lemon? It's so easy to like get little dots in your thumb. Like you barely even have to try.
Yeah.
So I imagine you're actually trying to grate this guy's ass. That's such a fucked up way of hurting
someone. On the flip side though, if you tried to grate like a steak, I doubt it would work.
That is true, yeah.
So,
although I'd imagine somebody's soft butt cheeks are probably a little easier to grate.
I'm just
a sharp enough grater could probably start grating anything. Honestly,
that's true. We should
grate
our balls.
Which one of them? Yeah, which one of them was just like at a fucking?
Oh God! A wrinkle would just get caught in that shit, and it would be over.
Stop.
You'd fucking open it up like a Ziploc bag and drop your testicles on the floor.
It'd just fall out. Garnish
Jesus Christ.
I think they also
want to know which one of those dudes came up with that plan initially. Like, were they just like
the guy that
walking? They were just walking, you know, a couple of them, the boys were walking through a Walmart or some shit, and they saw a cheese grater, and one was like,
yo,
dude, this will fucking suck.
Do you give me one of those things that they like held this kid down? They were just gonna like beat him up. And then one kid brings out the cheese grater, and everyone else is like
guys,
everyone else
why do you have that?
Yeah, like everyone's kind of like skeezed out, but they're also like, this dude's fucking nuts. They just kind of like let it happen, but they're like, oh, this is too far even for us.
Yeah,
they pull his pants down, and the kid's like, no, please don't do it. And then they start grating his ass cheek, and he's like, wait, do the other thing. This is worse.
Stab me, please.
So that's a fucking scary thought.
I have a dicey story. Not a Mexico story, but like it's pretty close. This happened in Barrio Logan, which is a pretty sketchy part of San Diego.
I saw that movie.
Wait, what? Anyway, so there's this place called Barrio Logan, and it's like very much like a Cholo-centric neighborhood. Like it's very much like, you know, there's like the old school like Mexican art on the wall and everything. So my friends and I were looking for a house party, and there's this group of Cholos, and we had our friend with us, James. I've sent pictures of him to the chat. He's this really goofy looking dude. not you or me. So he goes up to these cholos who are very clearly on meth. Like, there's pretty much, if you're okay, for, it's really late at night. Like, it's like way past midnight. And why would you think to go to up to like the guys who are very high and screaming at each other and ask for directions? So yeah, there was one guy in that group who was like sober and he was pretty cool. I think he was older, and then the rest of them were like a little bit younger. So he tells us, he's like, oh, there's like music coming from that house over there. That's probably the one you're looking for. James was like very drunk, so he kept asking him over and over again after he'd already told him. And so I'm like, I'm getting like fed up. So I'm just standing there like, dude, like you already told you, let's go. I turn my head, and the second I turn back around, one of the fucking dudes who are like high as shit punched me in the face. Like, but it wasn't even like a sore punch. It was like, because he was like very like cracked out, but it was like one of these, like he like hit me across the face for no reason. I turn around and the other one has like, he has his hand in his sweater pocket and he's trying to rob my friend CJ. He doesn't have anything in his like pocket. He's just like pretending that he does. And all my friends fucking scatter. That was like the scariest night ever, because it's like, what the fuck? Like, so we all just ran back to my friend Sam's car and left.
I just imagine, like, you know, he's high as shit and he gets you here, so you just like
that's pretty much how it was. Because like it didn't fuck? Like hurt. It was just like, what the fuck? Like, I don't even know you. Why did you do that?
He hit you for one damage.
And his buddy's getting robbed by a dude that's like,
I thought you meant he was like, I thought you meant he was in your friend CJ's pocket trying to steal something, but he didn't have anything. No. So I was like, I imagined like this dude like cracked out on meth, just like in your friend's pocket, just wiggling around, and your friend's just like,
what the fuck, man?
I don't know. Looking for please, sir, stop touching
no,
me.
No, even funnier, he was literally like this, like pretending he had something. There was nothing.
I like to imagine he was like furiously rubbing his dick so it'd get big, and then he could be like, look, it's a gun.
Blinky, dude, give me your phone.
Can you give me your best cholo on meth before we move on?
Sure, yeah.
Hey, fucker, give me your shit. Hey, fucker, I'm on meth right now. I'm on methamphetamines.
Because they would say that.
Hey, fucker, I'm under the influence.
To be fair,
there's no change to their demeanor at all. They just let you know aggressively that they have fucking...
If someone told me they were on meth and they looked like they were, that would be kind of scary.
I'd be like, thank you, I'm... Okay.
Like, oh, I'm avoiding you now.
I'm gonna go. Okay, so I just I feel like I can tell a couple of these throughout the episodes, but I just thought it's not a dicey situation. I don't know if any of you have known someone who is just like, they leave a very serious impact on you because of how surreal like the scenarios they bring up are. They're just like, they seem like they're out of their mind, and they're just a constant in your life. We had this guy,
Markiplier.
Yeah, Markiplier. Yep. Thanks for being with us last time, Mark.
Yeah, thanks for hanging out last week, Mark. That was cool.
Hey, don't mention it.
That was like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, it's been
three weeks ago now. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, so we had this guy on my hall freshman year, and he would pop up everywhere, like throughout my time at Liberty. I'll say his name because fuck it, I won't say his full name, but just like it adds a unique his name was Ryel. Okay. And
so he's an elf.
And yeah.
That so, doesn't sound like a Christian name. That's a little too
That sounds a little pagan.
Just a little too sexual.
So he What's a good one to tell? Because there's so many weird things he did.
Oh, tell me.
I'll go with one of the earlier ones. I was hanging out with some buddies in my room, and he walked in the door and like popped in. He was like, "Hey, what you guys doing?" And my buddy Aaron was just kind of like, "Ah, circle jerking with the boys," and he went, "Ah, nice, nice." And our buddy was like, "You want to join?" And this man looked all of us in the eyes and said, "Nah, I was born in November," and then left.
What does that mean?
Oh, I know exactly what kind of person you mean now. I know exactly what kind of person you mean.
James, wait. I guarantee you, I can almost guarantee you don't. As the stories,
I swear to God.
As the stories grow, we'll see if you can line something up. But as the stories continue, it gets... He came back. He came back a little while later because we were all like, "What the fuck does that mean?"
Yeah.
And he came back and he looks at my buddy Kirk and he goes like, "Hey, yo, Kirk, do you live in a brick house growing up?" And my buddy's like, "No, lived in a white house." And he goes, "Ah, you know, I sensed that." And then he left again.
What the fuck?
Dude,
what if
I
he's
fucking
like
love
some,
people like that.
What if he's like operating on some like next level brain waves that we can't even comprehend?
That is a theory me and my friends have because there's just so many instances of him appearing places and then going somewhere else and then saying something else weird, and we're like, what?
And it goes on for way too long that it's clearly not just a bit. Like, it's just...
Yeah, he was one of the most, like, odd, and, like, the interactions were always slightly uncomfortable, but he left such an impact on all of us. And it's funny because if you talk to almost anyone who was, especially in, like, the arts program at Liberty during the time I was there, and you say, "Rael, what..." If you have a group of five people, at least one of them is going to go, "I know who that is."
Yeah. Awesome. I always had people like that. Well, which like not exactly like that, maybe, but I kind of feel like I know the vibe you're getting after. And it's like, I always just felt like this person was normal at some point. They did something. They took like shrooms and they just like, they're still cerebral, but they were never the same. And it's not like in a terrible way. It's just like, they're just two steps off every, no matter what they're doing, and it's okay, and it's on. It's like fun to have him around.
Yeah. No, it every time he would pop up, I would always like brace for something, but I knew whenever we got through it, I was gonna have another story.
That's awesome. Yeah.
He ended up being an editor for Mr. Bro, Mr. Beast's brother.
Oh.
Well, okay,
that's fitting.
Because exactly. One of my boys hit me up and he was like, "Dude, look at what Rael's doing." And I was like, "That just makes sense, I guess."
It just makes so little sense that it somehow makes sense again.
It fits his MO. I'll continue Rael stories on further episodes, please, but I don't want to blow them all in one place.
I'm excited to hear more of these.
Yeah. Rael hour.
For some reason, that reminded me of
Let's
this.
Get Rael
we
on.
Had we had a one time we had a lecture. At university, it must have been like third or fourth year. And it was just some bullshit lecture about, I can't even fucking remember, just something about one of the things we were studying at the time. And this guy gets up. It was like an hour in or something. And then like the teacher had like a break or something. So I'll just chat amongst yourselves for 5 minutes or something. And this dude stands up. And like starts giving a full on speech about Jesus, and it was the skeeziest fucking thing. Because like maybe at Liberty that might be normal. I don't know. New Zealand very secular, and also I didn't go to a religious college. And so this dude just stands up and he's like, "Hey guys, just so you know," like he was had a bit of like youth pastor vibes, but also like something was clearly not right with him. And it was like, "Hey guys, just so you know, like Jesus cares about you and like loves you." And like he just kind of like gave a little speech. It wasn't even that long. It was probably like a minute total, not even that. And everyone was just so like, "What the fuck?" Like I was like, "This dude's about to fucking end us all." Like this is his like,
this is monologue.
This is his monologue before he fucking he martyrs all of us to the cause of Jesus Christ. And he just did that, and then he just like left. So he like sat through an hour of this like 2 hour lecture just to like find this opportunity to do that, I guess. And they just left
with the good word.
And everyone just looked at each other like, "What the fuck?" And we actually got, because obviously everyone was really fucking uncomfortable about this dude just like yelling religious stuff. We found out they said like next lecture, they said like, "Yeah, we're really sorry about that. Like there was some religious, a church or something, a couple of people from that being shown around the campus or something." And this dude just like got loose. Like he...
He went rogue.
No, literally, like
sat down in the middle of a lecture.
That wasn't like they were there with a bunch of other people, and then this dude just like found lecture theater and he's like, "Yo, this is gonna be my opportunity to fucking preach." And he like just like got away from the group, and I think they were like, you know, they made a big thing like, "Yeah, we're not, you know, we're gonna be much tighter with security. We know you'll feel a bit uncomfortable." Yeah. But it was just like really fucking weird.
I'm just imagining like two guys like dressed in like animal control garb, like coming in with like tranquilizers,
tackling him, and he's like
a lost gorilla or something. Yeah. Where is he?
When you put it in context after of like him kind of just like running out, but he came in with the intention of doing that and everything. Like once it fully came together, I kind of picture like he delivered that sermon like it was like Napoleon Dynamite on stage at the end of the movie, just dancing his heart out. Right. And then afterwards he finished to dead silence and kind of just
no, that was less. It was literally that.
And just like shuffled out the door in a fast
fashion. He was probably expecting some kind of like
like he was changing his lives.
Everyone looks at him like he's a freak because he is. And
if that happened in America, there would have most likely been a very different little standing ovation encore type beat that would happen after he finishes the sermon.
Yeah. He definitely had like final act speech music playing in his head.
Exactly.
Except it fell completely
like
flat.
If he had access, he would, you know, there would have been a nice little encore to his. To his sermon.
So another quick story that just reminded me of.
He would have shot up the room, though.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, oh, sure. you mentioning the whole like final act, like empowering kind of music, kind of you know, final speech type beat. Reminded me of one time. Did you guys ever have to do like house singing or school singing at high school or whatever? Like, was that everything?
I did in middle school.
It was a thing. I didn't have to, though.
Sure.
I had to in middle school, and in my senior year, I chose to, but...
Right. Well, for us, we had, like, because we had four houses, like, Harry Potter kind of shit, and we had, like...
That's fucking epic. I didn't know that existed.
That's awesome. It's really... I think it's, like, all over New Zealand, Australia. It's just, like, everyone does it. And
cool.
We have, like, house... you know, so there was, like, all these, like, house competitions throughout the year.
Huffle cunt.
Much like Harry Potter.
Yeah.
And one of them was house singing, where like each house chooses a song and then does like singing, and then everyone tries to do the best, you know, whoever sings the best. So for a month up until the presentation or the, you know, the singing assembly, you like go in before school starts and like sing, and it replaces the I don't know what you call it, like form time, like where your attendance is done at the start of the day. And no one fucking cares, obviously, because it's a bunch of teenage boys. You're trying to get them to sing, like, and you know, it was all songs that the teachers chose. So it was like songs I like now, but like stuff when you're into, you know, it's like 70s rock and stuff. It's like not what you vibe with when you're that age. I do now, but it's very much like dad rock, and you're just like, ugh.
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
So
anyway, was it a competition like between the four houses?
Yeah, and whoever wins like gets like more house points. Yeah. It sounds a lot more cool than it actually is. But then, anyway, there was one of these assemblies. It's fucking like 8:45 in the morning. Everyone's just like, oh, fucking hell, I'm at school. And so, like, you know, they're trying to get us to sing it. Everyone's just like, just fucking really half-assing it because no one wants to be there. And this one guy
told me.
I wish that was it. But there was this one kid who was in my year. We must have been like year like 12 or 13 at that point. We were old enough for him to know better. And I guess he had this like thought in his head. He's like, what if I inspire them? And he fucking stands up and starts belting it out. Like, he just like, you know, like absolutely gunning it. And everyone just turns and looks at him. Doesn't like, you know, he was hoping, I guess, everyone else would be like, yeah, and fucking get amongst it. Everyone just...
like it's fucking School of Rock.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's some School of Rock shit. Everyone just looks at him and his voice just slowly lowers and he just sits back down.
Please clap.
Oh my God.
No.
Please clap.
Pain.
Oh, it was so bad.
I feel like I experienced that firsthand just from hearing you say it. I feel like I'm experiencing that cringe firsthand.
Dude, speaking of like in-class cringe, I probably have a bunch of different shit like this from my time at Liberty, but the one that me and a couple friends all had this, I think it was Theology 101 or something. So this is Old Testament.
Theology?
Theology,
study
yeah.
of Theo?
Yeah. Or maybe this was just
no, this is a study of theology.
This is an Old Testament thing. Anyway, our professor was this older guy, and he was talking about fucking Adam and Eve. And for some reason, this man, and I'm really glad I was not like front row or like kind of in the middle, because the class kind of had this big swoop to it. And I was on one of the wings. But he's talking about it, and he says, like, he's talking about Adam and Eve, and he's like, you know, I bet the first time that I'm going to look right into the camera for this so everybody really feels it. He's like, I bet the first time that Adam saw Eve, he was just like, and he did this for like seconds.
He kept it going.
He kept it going for like a couple of hard breaths. And you know that moment when you're experiencing just like your heart almost stops? That's how bad it felt. Like the room was dead quiet as this dude heavy breathed in just like a cosplay of Adam seeing boobies for the first time.
What year of school was this?
This would have been my sophomore year, but it was like freshman and sophomore.
Of college or?
Yeah.
High
college.
School.
No, this is college.
Maybe college. Maybe he was. You know, you were on the wing, so you didn't have the right depth perception. But maybe he was looking right into a girl's eyes when he was
probably
doing it.
Was.
Right into a little fucking a Christian girl name? Maribeth. He was looking right into her fucking soul, just
looking into her bloomers.
I know I'm 50, but
no, this dude. This dude is like 60 or 70.
Oh. There was
Power to him.
I wish I had been able to talk to whoever it was, because he definitely made eye contact with somebody.
He was eye fucking someone.
I
as
had been
Adam.
Able to talk to them because I guarantee you their day was ruined. There's no way you experience that and have a normal day afterwards. That's going to stick with you.
One of my teachers in high school asked who in the class was circumcised. I didn't really realize how weird that question was until like 4 years
later.
Wait,
what the fuck?
Like, he asked it to everyone?
Who here has got
in front of the teacher?
You know, he was one of my favorite teachers, not because of the foreskin thing. He was like, there was no, like, creepiness behind it, but it was...
Yeah.
There was a context to it. We were talking about... because I think it was classics. I think we were talking about religion and, like the origin of certain things like circumcision and, like, where it came from. And then he asked, like, who here is circumcised? I guess to prove a point that, like, in non-religious places... like New Zealand, it's not common. But what made it really awkward is like it was one of the few classes that we had girls in, because we had like a sister school that like sometimes for some classes, like if the timetables didn't line up for your school, you'd go over to the girls' school or they'd come over here to the boys' school. And I just remember like us having to admit to all these girls whether or not we're fucking coded up or not.
That's so that's fucking strange. Awkward. That's so awkward.
It was the same class where this one dumb girl was saying that, like, it was like, I think it was a one of those morals questions. And they were saying, like, if in the Titanic, if there was a rowboat and it was too, like, it was sinking because there's too many people, one of the old people were like, oh, I've lived a good life. I'll jump off to save everyone else. She was like, no, you shouldn't have to do that. How do you value one life over another? And it's like, because he's old and offering.
Come on, bro.
He lived a good life.
I had the same shit. I had the same shit in a philosophy class in high school that we like this teacher. He was like one of my favorite teachers. That class was cool, but somehow I think we did like weekly debates.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time it was girls versus boys, which was strange. But one time he asked this question. He's like, I don't know where this, it's usually like, you know, do you think that you should have morality? Yes or no? but this week it was, would you kill three puppies with your bare hands to save your mom's life? That was the prompt to the whole class of like sophomores.
Damn, hitting
and
you with the real
of course
questions.
Everyone in the class on both sides, it was just like, well, yeah, like that's morbid as fuck, but yes.
But yeah.
And this one girl was like, no, how could you tell me that all life is equal, even the souls of animals are worth the souls of you? And I'm like, bruh, I'm gonna walk your mama to this classroom and see how she feels about that. Like, your mom would stomp out a fucking animal shelter for you, and you're yeah. saying one puppy animal, is worth
I've
your
mother's life.
I've got
16 animal souls in my stomach right now from the 6-piece nugget box. Like, what are you talking about?
True.
I'll whip a puppy's head into a tree like Romans used to do with babies. I'm giving shit.
Yeah, that's the thing. She was like, she wasn't even like vegan or like really super founded in anything, but it was yeah. just this one question was just like, no. And I was like, either you have problems at home or you're just like grandstanding for the class yeah. that you couldn't, that it wasn't yeah. couldn't, just it was being, that she wouldn't.
Just like being a contrarian or something.
Yeah, yeah, it's like your yeah. mom's last thoughts are going to be, I should never have had that kid.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I'm fucking nerfing. I'm Mr. Nerfing 3 puppies. Yeah. I don't give a shit, bro.
Okay.
Nobody's blocking my mom.
Do you guys have any, like, stories of, like, people being spazzes like me and Andrew's one where someone just makes, like, just something incredibly uncomfortable that the entire class is like, ooh.
Okay. We had this one kid in our school that was like, he was like, for the most part, pretty normal, and like he was friends with everyone, but he like took shit to like another level. Like, there's people that want attention, and then there's like the one kid in the school who will do absolutely anything for like a smidgen of attention. Uh-huh. And he'll do it at your bequest. So it's like, we would just tell him to do all kinds of shit. And one time we were in this health class, and the health teacher's name was Mr. Miller, and he was basically just like Phil Nye 2. He would always say like, all right, everybody, like once everyone was like settled, it's like, put on your thinking caps, strap in your seatbelts, and ready to take off on the health mobile of space or some shit. He would do that's this whole cool. like little and like it was endearing and also really cringy at the same yeah. time. And but he had like no backbone at all either. So this kid would always fuck with him, and then one day the teacher finally got mad, and it like prompted this kid to like go even further. And we had desks that were like kind of like there were bars around it, so like you sat in from the side, like you didn't pull the chair right, out or anything. And the teacher kind of like starts yelling at him, like getting in his face, because it's like finally it's like the end of the semester and he finally gets to yell at this kid. And the kid goes, if you mess with the balls, you get the horns. And he stands up with his whole desk, like holding it, and just tries to run at the teacher. And the teacher like sidesteps him. And the teacher didn't hit him. Like, he just sidesteps him, and he tips over and slams his head into the door. And the door like slams open and goes and hits like a shit ton of lockers. So it makes this like earth rattling sound down this whole like empty hallway. And everyone goes out into the hallway, and this kid's just like trapped in his desk by the bars and can't get up, and he's like a teetered over turtle. But this kid was like, he never did commit, so he's still just screaming. He's like still making bull noises and screaming fucking like 2009 memes.
It was
pretty funny,
dude. There was your health teacher reminded me of, there was a health class we had, and our health classes were usually taken by PE teachers. And our PE teacher was this big, bald, fucking pink dipshit. It was like just a bit of a cock. And I remember one time it was like the end of the class, and then I guess it was like a reward or something for like, I don't know, end of day, fuck it, we'll just watch some shit instead of doing work. And he put on this like gymnastics routine, which was like technically very impressive. But here's the thing. Year 10, so we're like 14, all boys school. He showed us a video of two men in leotards where you could see their fucking packages, yeah. and these two men are lifting each other up and like doing, again, very impressive gymnastics routines and stuff.
Right.
But
very graphic.
It's a fucking room full of 14-year-old boys, so everyone's like giggling and laughing and saying it's gay. And this dude, this big pink bald dipshit, like got so mad at us. He was like furious that we like even interpreted it as gay. He was like, oh, you kids can't behave at all, can you? And he like shut it off, like got really mad at us. What did you expect?
This is my favorite exercise. They call it Brokeback Mountain.
And they watch this part they where they get
fucking
hard.
Hold him up and like fucking starts throat fucking him from above.
Yeah. But like there's no nudity. Like he still has his fucking underwear on.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
He's just stuck in his erection.
Choned into the face.
It's such a beautiful display of fucking brotherhood.
You just see the balls like deforming and like within the leotard around his forehead.
Yeah.
Dude, we had a music teacher that would put on, it was a music class, like we were supposed to learn instruments. Instead, she would just put on like classic performances of like rock bands, which was like pretty cool, but she would put them on and go to sleep behind her desk every single day for 45 minutes for an entire semester, like a half a year of school.
That's kind
of pretty impressive.
It's such a ballsy move to think that no kid is ever gonna go to the principal just once and be like, this woman sleeps every single day in the middle of class.
Yeah.
Well, the whole entire class. And she just, to my knowledge, she been doing it for a very long time. I know a couple people that were like, yeah, she did that for me too.
Did you know the kid who like went and told went and told the teacher or found the teacher if they were late, or like the kid who mentions if like they hadn't checked the homework or anything like that?
Oh yeah, yeah, those kids are the fucking worst.
We had one once. We had
a
Japanese class once, and the teacher was late for some reason. We were just fucking vibing. We were like, this is awesome. And then like it was like 30 minutes in or 20 minutes in or something.
Whoa.
And the guy, like this one fucking dweeb, like went to the staff room and found her, and everyone was like, get back here, I'm gonna bash your fucking head.
Jesus Christ.
And he still went and did it.
God, I'm pretty sure we had a substitute teacher that like, because like I guess subs like go around school districts or like a district and they sub everywhere. I'm pretty sure we had a substitute teacher, like not at our school, but we knew that sub, and at another school he got caught like people, he put on a movie or whatever and was just sitting behind the desk, and it was like one of those gigantic desks where you can't see anything, and like he got like really clammy and was like breathing heavily, but people thought he fell asleep, and then someone walked up to like play a meme on him, and he was beating his dick to porn in the corner of the room while he played him the movie for like middle schoolers.
How fucking horny do you have to be? You can't even just like go to the bathroom.
I don't know what happened, but yeah, no, that's I did have
a teacher
ridiculous.
Like that. Well, he would just look at porn, like porn magazine, like a book. I think I've told this story before. I don't know if it was on here on
I don't think so.
Yeah.
He was a substitute teacher. His name was Mr. Cooperstein, and he like just straight up looked like a pedophile.
Cooperstein. Like,
pedophile. Yeah, Cooperstein. He like had a cul-de-sac on his head, big Santa Claus beard, and he would piss at like the urinal, but like the smallest urinal, but He would pee with his, he would like pull his pants down to his ankle. I walked into the bathroom and I just saw his ass. But like every time he would substitute, he would just sit at his desk and he would have like a book open. Obviously you can't see it because he's in the corner, but he would have like a sort of porn magazine in the book. And one time I walked up to him and asked him a question, and I just straight up saw like the porn he was just looking at. During class.
That's such a baller
dude,
move.
That's like the most fucking ballsiest thing ever. Because like you're not, you know, I'm assuming he wasn't looking at child porn, either of your teachers. But like the fact you were doing it in the room with kids will still get you labeled as like a sex.
Yeah.
Like a
yeah,
you know, like
yeah,
you're probably not attracted to kids, dude, but you're just a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird because like you're getting aroused in the presence of minors.
Yeah, that's just an L.
I guess it depends. It depends whether
it's
that.
Weird by proxy.
Yeah, it's like it's weird. Well, it depends whether that was. I mean, not that you could ever know, but like it's different whether that was why he was doing it, or whether he was just such an idiot that he didn't even consider
uncontrollably
that.
Horny.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Right. Yeah. Dude, when you said when you said cul-de-sac on his head. So his name is Cooperstein or Cooperstein, which is usually a Steen or a Stein is a Jewish last name.
Yep.
By cul-de-sac on his head, I thought that you meant he had a yarmulke on. And you forgot
oh my God.
The name
I thought
of
I was
it.
Being that insensitive.
You were like, he had one of those cul-de-sacs on his head.
You know. You know.
You know.
But yeah, you just meant like the haircut where the fucking just hairs on the sides. Yeah. It just but caught me. No,
I wasn't just being
that.
Openly anti-Semitic.
Dopex says that more closed.
I don't know if that's anti-Semitic as much as it is just funny as fuck.
That's true, yeah.
Do you see this magic trick I learned the other day?
Sure.
Yeah, dude, hit us. I'm stoked.
What the that's stupid.
Guys, this is a really good bit.
This fucking sucks.